Hello, I'm glad you've joined us for the Bible study of today. We're delighted that you're going through the scriptures with us in our consecutive study of the Word of God. Today's meditation was taken from program 1836 of the Family Bible Hour, and it's meditation 78. Boyd Nicholson is our speaker, and he will present to us the subject, The Rejection of Saul. This is Arnett McEntee speaking, and I sincerely hope that you'll be blessed as you study the Word of God with us.
Thank you, Arnett. Shall we ask God's blessing on our program today? God, our Father, we bless Thee for Thy wonderful Word. We pray Thou wilt help us to be obedient to it and reap the blessings of obedience and not the curse of disobedience. We ask Thee to bless Thy Word to the ends of the earth, that many may enter into the joys of obeying the Gospel through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22 these very striking words. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Samuel, the prophet who spoke these words so long ago to Saul, Israel's choice of a king, was God's faithful servant. He had served faithfully since he was a child. Now he's drawing near to the end of his ministry, but before his final acts as a servant of God, he calls Israel to hear his closing charge and his testimony to a lifetime of serving God. What a wonderful thing it must be for a servant of God to reach the end of a long life of service and to look back on an unswerving path of obedience. These are the words of a man who calls himself old and grey-headed, and who's about to take off his armour and lay down his sword for the last time. He gives a fourfold testimony to his integrity as a servant of God, and it would be a good and wise thing if all of us who claim to serve God today would test ourselves by the standard set out by Samuel in this portion of Scripture. He states that he had not profited by his ministry as a prophet. He asks the people, "Have I taken?" Then he asks, "Have I defrauded?" He had not manipulated circumstances for his own personal benefit. "Have I oppressed?" he goes on to ask. He had not used his standing as a servant of the Lord to impose his own will on the people. He asks, "Have I received?" Bribery had no influence in his life. He would not be the servant of a man or a party or an organization. He was the Lord's servant, faithful to the end. As he concluded his testimony to his own faithfulness, the people had to agree. They said, "Thou hast not." In spite of all this undeniable integrity of the prophet, the people had wanted a king like the other nations around them. They had a mighty sovereign, of course, God himself. But that invisible reigning monarch did not satisfy their disbelieving and disobedient hearts. So God gave them a king as they desired. His name was Saul. We can only imagine the feelings of the aged prophet Samuel. He was wounded in his spirit that the people he had served under God so faithfully all those years were now ready to cast him aside for this handsome young giant of a man who had never proved himself. But God spoke to him and reminded him that the people were not rejecting him, Samuel. They were rejecting Samuel's God. You know, we find things like this even in the church today. The Lord is the head of the church. That's clearly taught in the scriptures. But religious man, with all his ingenuity, wants someone they can see, a figurehead they can revere. So they go out to look for a man, a leader, to welcome and give a title to, and place and position. Well, God will let them have their man, but the day will come when they will realize that this was not a forward move, but a great step backwards towards the very systems from which God had delivered them in the past. Yes, Israel got their man, yet the Lord had warned him of this very man in these words: he will take, he will take, he will take. What a lesson for us today. If we reject God's ways for some carnal alternative that looks good, he will give us what we want, and we will suffer the consequences. The Lord commanded Saul, through Samuel, to destroy Amalek and all their goods. Amalek was an ancient enemy people that had cruelly attacked Israel and sought to frustrate the purposes of God for Israel. Because of Amalek's merciless attack on Israel when they came out of Egypt, God commanded Israel to exact terrible retribution by destroying them and all their goods. No spoils of war were to be taken from Amalek. Again, King Saul fails. He assumed that instead of obeying the word of the Lord exactly, he could improvise with his own reason what he thought was a better idea. He spared the king of the Amalekites and the best of the sheep and the oxen. How many there are who think, as Saul did, that it's quite all right for them to decide how much or how little they will obey God. They deceive themselves into thinking they are pleasing God. When Samuel came to Saul after the battle, Saul declared brazenly, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Then when Samuel asked him why he could hear the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of cattle when God had commanded him to kill them all, Saul said he had spared the animals to make a sacrifice to the Lord. My, it sounded all so holy and so religious and so self-righteous. But Saul had to learn a solemn lesson now. Partial obedience is in fact disobedience and sin against the Lord. The subtlety of it all was that Saul seemed to be doing a good thing, sacrificing unto the Lord. After all, wasn't it a good thing to sacrifice to the Lord? But the word to Saul was, "Thou didst evil in the sight of the Lord." Saul's good works were not good enough for God. How many there are today just like Saul? They plan to do good works for God. They purpose in their hearts even to make sacrifices to the Lord, but they have never obeyed his word in the gospel. They are not willing, it seems, to acknowledge they are unworthy, hell-deserving sinners who can do nothing to save themselves. They rebel against the thought of repenting and turning to God from their idols to receive God's salvation through faith in his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Bible declares, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." God, by his servant Paul, affirms that by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. "But," says someone, "what about my sacrifices to God, my donations to the church, my good works? Does all that count for nothing towards my salvation?" Listen to the word of God through his servant Peter, and I quote from Knox's translation. What was the ransom that freed you from the vain observances of ancestral tradition? You know well enough that it was not paid in earthly currency, silver or gold. It was paid in the precious blood of Christ. No lamb was ever so pure, so spotless a victim. When the Lord Jesus returns to take vengeance upon his enemies, who will his enemies be? We discover that tragic multitude described in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 to 9 in these words: "Them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Dear listener, have you ever obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? That glorious message that tells how Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and as the Lamb of God went to the cross of Calvary and there died under the burden of sin, bearing the judgment of God so that you and I need not perish. Then he rose up from the dead and ascended to heaven, soon to come again for his people. But now he's calling men and women and boys and girls from all over the world to come to him for salvation. "Come unto me," he says, "all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he says again, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Saul lost his kingdom as a result of that disobedience, and he turned from the presence of the man of God with these words ringing in his ears: "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." By disobedience he lost his kingdom. But today millions, by disobedience to the word of the gospel, lose their eternal souls. Dear listener, obey the gospel right now as the program comes to a close. Say from your heart, "Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless, thou canst make me whole. There is none in heaven or on earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners, therefore, Lord, for me." O God, we pray that thy gracious Spirit will do his work in the hearts of multitudes today, that they will turn in obedience to the Lord Jesus and trust him even now. We ask it for the glory of Christ and the blessing of these who hear the message, in his precious name. Amen.